course be recommended to her by another Christian friend that we have stateside. And both have really struggled to list comprehensively their life desires. And if the truth was told, so did I. Because a mindset of having desires and having dreams is often seen as quite dubious. Now, as Christians, it gets even more complicated, because it's not just what do I want, but is that what I want right? And is what God wants for me what I am wanting? And the truth is that we all know some contemptible truth about ourselves. We all have a hidden skeleton that we hope nobody is ever going to see. And there is a part of us that is afraid that if too many of our desires or our dreams are unleashed, it is going to get us into a whole heap of trouble. And sometimes it is easier to ignore desire and end up in an unsatisfactory place, or we come to a place where we let other people decide for us. We have this wrong slave mentality. I am only here to serve. And that's really the Martha mindset. I don't know about you, because you prophesy and minister as much as we do. People come to us all the time and they just want us to tell them what to do. And they've no idea of what is actually on the inside of them. And so scared are they of getting it wrong, or so shut down by pain, they are always seeking for a prophet or a counselor to take some life decisions for them. Now, sometimes suppressing desire is a technique for dealing with disappointments. I had the desire, I had the dream, it went horribly wrong, so I'm going to be super cautious of feeling those feelings again. And then you end up feeling disempowered, and life happens to you rather than your desire empowering you. I think age seems to dull desire as well. Marriage loses desire. We lose desire for God. We lose passion as we grow up. We see rampant desire and rampant passion as something that only the young have. And that actually the young have it in unstable ways. And maturity, and part of the process of maturing, is a loss of your desires and passions and a natural wastage of your dreams. And we see that as a normal part of life. But I want to tell you this morning that God has never once modeled to you a turned down level of desire. He did not, during the process of time, ever become more moderate in his ways. He did not readjust his dreams to scale them back because time had crept up on him. And those who are very vocal in issues of desire and dream, we tend to look at them, particularly in older age, as those who are quite unhinged. Especially those who are demonstrative in the desire of God's presence, because that sin is not being proper. But I want to say to you, why does desire matter? Why does it matter? Why do dreams matter? Why is it important that we get to know those things? Because I believe that desire and dream ask us to address the more naked parts of who we are and why we do what we do. In our aim as the people of God to be the friends of God and to be the national transformers, we have to undress our hearts before him and deal with our hidden desires. Our behavior often comes from that place of what I desire. And I have to look and say, what is the brilliant that you've put in me? And what is the absolutely not brilliant that you have put in me? And it's rare when I prep anything that I hear the audible voice of God. But when I first started looking at this, I heard God say this, currently out loud to me, to hide desire is to unhelpfully sanitize the authenticity out of your relationship with God, or with me, as he said. To hide desire is to unhelpfully sanitize the authenticity out of your relationship with me. Because when you are honest in your desire, you take yourself into very deep relational places. So let me give you an example. But when I sit with my husband and I talk to him about my emotional desires and my needs and my dreams, my physical, my sexual, my spiritual desires and dreams, it is at that point in our married life that we are most together, because we are exposing to each other the very core of who we are when we talk about our desires and our dreams. And I believe there is a very strong link between acknowledging desire and your subsequent intimacy level with God. Because it's at the core of how you behave and how you make choices. Desire, when it is uncovered, when it is faced, when it is discussed, reveals the truth about who you really are. So how much have you talked to God about your spectrum of desires? Now, actually, on the other side, if you're stuck in permanent sin, you have to say, what am I desiring that lands me in this place again and again? Now, in this house, you have particular skill at that. Because actually, you know that if the desire is for approval and love, that actually the sin is going to be, I don't know, drugs, addiction, whatever happens to be the wrong medication for that. Actually, a better way of dealing with that is saying to God, where's my desire gap? What is it that I desire that's not being fulfilled? And actually, rather than our prayers that go, I'm sorry for committing this sin, God, I'm sorry that I have not won against this area, and please, by all means, keep repenting. But a more helpful approach is, God, what is wrong with my desires that I keep doing this? Okay. Do you know that God called the world into being because he wanted to? Desire is the momentum behind your creation. God's desire is 100% alive for you. God births a planet because central to him is a desire, and it is a loving desire. He is not compelled to make you. He was not forced to make you. It is not that you are a mistake. Your birth is not an unfortunate accident. You are here because God had a desire. You are not here out of duty, but out of desiring love. And desire and having dream is fundamentally a characteristic that is in the image of God. And so I have to say to you this morning that you are going to be, as a community and as a church, like a stunted tree if the desire seed in you does not get space to come up. Because actually you start to grow capped and you start to go wonky if that aspect of God is not seen. So I want you to turn to your neighbour and say, it's good for me to have desires. It's good for you to have desires. Okay. I was made in the image of God, and that means desire and longing is placed in me. All right. So the question then is, how much desire is currently alive in you? So close your eyes for me for a moment and ask Holy Spirit for some percentages, and I'll tell you in what areas. How alive, percentage-wise, God, is my desire for you right now? Or did I go off the boil with age? God, how alive, this is only if you're married, is my desire for my spouse? What percentage is that at? What percent am I carrying alive in me as my desire to be whole? You guys are so prophetic. I'm sure you will just get percentages. Okay, stay with me. God, what percent is alive in me of desire for my personal dreams to be fulfilled? Or have I stopped with my personal dreams? And what percent in me is robust and alive in desire for national and regional transformation? You know that you're a king, you're royal priesthood. So in all of us there has to be a desire for regional and national transformation. How alive is that? You may want to take up how alive is my desire for regional transformation and how alive is my desire for national transformation. So some of you are going to have some homework to do and some prayers to pray. And I will leave that homework with you. In terms of, oh God, if I'm made in your image, some of these things need to come up some levels, actually. Let's change tack slightly. See, the whirlwind is blowing. And actually, the insides of us have got to reflect the season of God. Psalm 7:10. I belong to my beloved and his desire is for me. I actually think that's quite an unnerving scripture. This God unharnessed, this God in his unchecked passion to be loved like he loves us is actually quite unsettling. And we don't cope well with the grace that pours from his level of desire. And we actually on occasion seem resistant to his desire and to his grace. Why? Because actually it is not easy to live as the indebted. It is not easy to live as the indebted. And so we are used to looking to the moral goodness of work. We develop a love affair with striving and with effort. And we say, I would like to do something, God, that would pay you back. And I know that that is utterly ludicrous and utterly nonsense. And yet our whole culture is built on this Protestant work ethic that still kind of stupidly thinks that it might have some credibility in his courts. And so we have this history of trying to do and trying to say some things to make sense of the love of God, to try to pay him back. So the next question in our journey with desire is, how well are my scores if I score myself out of 10 at saying as part of my journey, I just let you love me, God. How many of you say that on a regular basis? I just let you love me. Oh dear. How many of you say, I receive your love today? You say that. You've already heard me teach on this. I don't know who you are. Okay. I receive it, God. I let you love me. You see, we like to keep things a little bit neat and tidy. I give you, God, something, you give me something, we go back and forward. But to be the object of unmerited desire is actually a really radical reality, where I do not need to be a certain way to be desired. I'm just desired no matter what. That's mind-blowing, and yet at the same time, it's supremely comforting. I let you love me, God. I let you come close to me. I let your rampant desire for me be felt and be known. You are always good, and I do not push your intervention in my life away. I do not stop you loving me. Will you come and take over? Would you come and have your way? I love that you desire me. Those are the kind of things that I think we need to pray. And actually, his desire for you is probably the most single important thing in your world. I am the desire of God, and he loves me, and there are no limits to this. So I feel like God is actually speaking over us through this whirlwind. Stop pushing me away. I want my wanting of you to be fully received. And obviously, in turn, our heart needs to long for him for another level. So again, let's change tack slightly. I'm just leaving you with some desire thoughts. What about the desire that you think, that's really definitely not you, God? I'm fairly certain that's not you. Because you know what happens? We see it in our respective rooms all the time. You know, you can't just say, I grab hold of my pain and I push it away here. But you know what? I'm going to keep all my other happy emotions. We don't have that capacity. So if we have crushed or pushed down a desire emotion and a pain emotion, we've made ourselves numb right across the board. So we do have to have a strategy for dealing with sinful desire rather than shutting all desire down. Are you with me? Okay, let's go there for a moment. If your desire's gone astray, or if you think that even not sexually and sinfully, but if your desire's gone astray, even for your nation and for your community, I would urge you to pray Psalm 51. And it's the verse that says, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost places. We know it well. Surely you desire in here truth. You teach me wisdom in the innermost places. Desire truth. Say that with me. Desire truth in the innermost parts. Okay. David is not just saying to God, will you change my thinking? Which we know we've scriptures for already, by be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But he's saying, God, would you change my gut? Would you change my impulses? Remember, this is a man who's just committed adultery. And he's saying to God, would you get hold of my rational and my irrational, my known and my unknown responses? Would you come in to get hold of my mental and my moral activity? And God, would you sort it out for me by putting truth in my innermost parts? And then, of course, you know that psalm goes, creating a clean heart and your right spirit within me. And in the words of St. Augustine, he says, I don't want disordered loves. I don't want to play the whore and go after wrong lovers. Put truth in my innermost parts. Now, how often do you guys pray the Lord's Prayer? Weekly, okay. So obviously when you're doing that, your kingdom come, you are saying, but God, I want my desire to be subordinate to God's desire. Kingdom prayers grow in us, obviously the ability to be more Christ-like. Isn't that an interesting way to deal with your sin? Isn't that an interesting way to deal with where your desires are not quite lined up? Put truth in me here, and may your kingdom come on me here. Put truth on me here, may your kingdom come on me here. And remember when Peter is writing and he says, be established in present truth. Now let me go with that for a minute, because you know that truth is always true, right? But you know when Peter is writing, be established in present truth, and this is what the prophets are on all the time. What is the present truth? What is the truth of this season, God, that you are anointing and bringing into focus in our community? And I feel like we have got to deal with the fact that God is asking more of you than you have ever thought. And so the present truth of God is, I have to have truth in my innermost being so that I can start to partner with where God is right now and what he's asking of me in the business of national transformation. God, blow your whirlwind over my desires, so I don't miss it by thinking too small. God, I don't want to be on the wrong path when you are doing the resetting. I don't want to want yesterday's dreams when you are calling me higher. I don't want yesterday's wine when actually, if I prayed for a truth in my innermost part, I would be desiring new wine in this season. Can I tell you, and you pray this a lot, put truth in my innermost part, put truth in my innermost part, your kingdom come, truth in my innermost part, your kingdom come. You actually walk away from a lot of personal disappointment because actually your internal world is constantly lining up with the pace of God.